From the studios of the Living on Earth Network in Cambridge, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth Today. Peter Rabbit celebrates his 100th birthday this year. It was a century ago that English author Beatrix Potter wrote and illustrated the now familiar story of the mischievous bunny who trespassed in Mr. McGregor's garden. While Potter went on to fame and fortune as a children's book writer, her true passion was preserving the landscape that provided the inspiration for her stories, the hills and farms of Western England's stunning and dramatic Lake District. Tom Verdi visited the region in search of Peter Rabbit's creator and has this story.
The pastoral charm and rugged beauty of England's Lake District have inspired many poets and writers, Wordsworth, Coleridge, Ruskin, to name a few. But perhaps none has made the region more familiar to us than Beatrix Potter.
The sunshine crept down the slopes into the peaceful green valleys where little white cottages nestled in gardens and orchards. "That's Westmoreland," said Pigwig. She dropped Pigling's hand and commenced to dance.
Potter's richly illustrated children's stories, such as the tale of Pigling Bland, Squirrel Nutkin, and, of course, Peter Rabbit, established a popular vision of the English countryside that endures to this day.
And it's given the Lake District world-renowned. People know from reading those books what the Lake District looks like.
Linda Lear, a professor of environmental history at George Washington University, is researching a biography of Potter that focuses on her life as a naturalist. It's a life that began in Victorian-era London, where Potter lived a privileged but reclusive childhood. Her happiest memories were of family vacations spent in the wilds of Scotland or the Lake District. It's there, says Lear, she felt liberated.
In the country, she was able to wander at will and to discover at will and to be away from her family, and it was nature was the key to her independence, and it starts very, very early. It starts at age 5 or 6.
My dear Papa, things not nearly so far on here as I expected. I don't think the bushes are so green as those in the park in London. We hardly found any primroses, as they are only just coming up.
And she's a compulsive artist. She draws everything in nature she can see, and she gets better and better and better, so she becomes a really fabulous natural history illustrator.
As a young woman, Potter considered a career as a botanist, but academia's all-male bureaucracy stood in her way. She couldn't even attend the presentation, before a prestigious London Botanical Society, of her own groundbreaking research on lichen spores, because the society didn't allow women at its meetings. Still, there were those who understood and supported her interest in nature. One influential mentor was the Reverend Hardwick Ronsley, a co-founder of the National Trust, today one of England's largest land and historic building preservation organizations. It was Ronsley who encouraged Potter to submit her first manuscript, a manuscript based on an illustrated letter she once composed for a sick child.
My dear Noel, I don't know what to write to you, so I shall tell you a story about four little rabbits whose names were Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. They lived with their mother in a sandbank.
Much to the author's surprise, Peter Rabbit was a runaway bestseller, and Potter dutifully delivered 22 more titles at the rate of about one or two a year. Most were set in her beloved Lake District, with its whitewashed farmhouses, rambling gardens, and soaring hills, or fells as they're called locally. Yet, by the early 20th century, it was a landscape under threat. The railroad brought unprecedented numbers of vacationers to the region, as well as land-hungry developers eager to build houses and hotels to accommodate them. Meanwhile, farming was in decline, the victim of a nationwide recession. Plus, there was a rising demand for factory-made as opposed to locally produced goods. Potter took it upon herself to tackle these threats head-on.
What Beatrix Potter did was to raise money from her little books, quite large sums of money, which she then invested in the landscape.
Potter biographer Susan Denyer.
And one of her first farms, Troutbeck Park Farm in Troutbeck, she bought to stop that whole area being developed. It's very difficult now to imagine that might all be covered in houses.
Potter was purchasing more than just real estate. She was preserving a way of life that had existed in the Lake District for generations. And she meant to keep it that way. In many ways the Martha Stewart of her day, she insisted that her farms be run traditionally, down to the last decorative detail.
I think the new style furniture and architecture is hideous. The local furniture in this district was oak, rather out of fashion in the sale room now, but I collect any genuine pieces I can get a hold of to put back into the farmhouses.
Potter also had strong opinions on livestock and preferred one local breed of sheep in particular.
In them days, the nearly only was herd which in Lake District.
68-year-old Johnny Burkett is one of a long line of tenant farmers to raise Herdwick sheep at High Udale, a former Potter farm, now in the care of the National Trust. Herdwicks are indigenous to the Lake District. They're able to survive on the high, stormy fells where no other sheep can, says Burkett, by virtue of their hardiness and thick, distinctively gray wool. The breed is also unique in that it's hefted to the land, meaning Herdwicks instinctively stay put wherever they're born and don't wander off like other sheep.
You're all right. Have a look around.
In Potter's day, the breed was in danger of extinction. Disease was one factor. Another was the invention of linoleum, which homeowners increasingly preferred over woolen rugs, once commonly made from Herdwick fleece. Potter's willingness to experiment with costly new veterinary medicines, coupled with her sheer determination, eventually saved the Herdwick, even though she sometimes rubbed fellow sheep farmers the wrong way.
My father used to say, when you were buying rams, she was a bit of a nuisance because she had a bigger pocket than what the ordinary farmer had, and she could get the best.
Like most other livestock farmers in England, Burkett was hard hit by last year's foot-and-mouth crisis. But even without foot and mouth, sheep farming has never been an especially easy, let alone profitable business, and Potter knew it, which is why she encouraged farmers to take advantage of the inevitable tourist trade by operating tea rooms and bed and breakfasts on their farms. In the tea room of Yew Tree Farm, owner Hazel Ralph sells everything from Herdwick wool sweaters to ground Herdy burgers. The income from wool alone, she says, no longer pays the rent.
50 years ago, there would be 4 women and 4 shepherds running this place, and now there's my husband and I, and I get part-time help. But without the bed and breakfast and the tea room and selling our own meat, you couldn't make a living.
Peter Rabbit's creator wasn't above a little merchandising herself. Long before there was a Harry Potter, Beatrix Potter patented a Peter Rabbit doll, board game, china set, figurine, coloring book, calendar, even wallpaper and slippers. Yet she continued to siphon the profits from these products and her books right back into the Lake District. When she died in 1943 at age 77, she left nearly all of her land, more than 4,000 acres, to the National Trust for the public's enjoyment. It remains the largest donation ever made to the Trust, and one that helped the then-fledgling organization establish itself. Today, Potter's stone farmhouse at Hilltop in the little village of Near Sawrey, the setting for many of her books, is the Trust's most popular attraction. Visitors from around the world come here to see the real-life home of Peter Rabbit and other familiar characters. The challenges of preserving this environment remain much the same as those of Potter's day. Of the 20 working farms she left to the National Trust, a third have gone under. Meanwhile, the pressures of tourism, even supposedly low-impact ecotourism, continue to take their toll. Millions of hiking boots tramping across the footpaths have caused erosion in some areas. The Trust, which owns 125,000 acres, or roughly a quarter of the Lake District, has responded by shoring up the most popular trails with pitched steps. The organization's also established programs to help local farmers rely less on subsidies and market their goods nationally. The Trust regional manager, Charles Flanagan, admits there's much left to be done and that Potter would probably be the first to agree with him.
I think if Beatrix Potter was still alive today, she would say we haven't lived up to her standards, but her standards were exceedingly high to an intense degree of detail. Equally, I think times have moved on, and we are fulfilling the spirit of her wishes as far as we're able to do so.
And if Potter was alive today, it's likely she'd still recognize many of the farms and fells and footpaths she wandered half a century ago. Author Judy Taylor chairs the Beatrix Potter Society.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's been kept exactly as she wanted it. And what it means for us today is that we are free to roam the Lake District cannot build on it. It's preserved for all of us. It's interesting. It's strange, really, that the royalties from books like The Tale of Peter Rabbit and the other little books enabled her to do this for us. It's lovely.
For Living on Earth, I'm Tom Verdi in England's Lake District.
You can hear Living on Earth on National Public Radio and the World Radio Network. To find a member station near you, go to www.loe.org or www.npr.org. This is Living on Earth Today.